At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. See for yourself when you sign up today and get $150 in bonus bets when you bet just $5. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
When you buy Kroger brand products, you feel like you're winning. That's because they offer proven quality at lower than low prices. In fact, we guarantee that you and your family will love how Kroger brand products taste, or you get your money back. So next time you're shopping for the family, look for delicious Kroger brand products, because they'll make you all feel like you're winning. Shop now, in-store, or online. Kroger, fresh for everyone.
Welcome to Fantasy Football Weekly, a production of iHeartRadio.
Time now for Fantasy Football Weekly from iHeartRadio, your weekly source for the nation's best fantasy football advice, speculation, and whatever stupid stuff they decide to drop into the show. Now here's your host, Paul Charchian.
It's a playoff edition of Fantasy Football Weekly. I am Paul Charchi, and my co-host is Brian Johnson this week.
What's up, Charch?
Great to talk to you.
It's you as well.
You braved a blizzard to get over here.
Yeah, Minnesota. This is nothing.
That isn't even a blizzard.
This is like a C grade snowstorm.
C grade. I like it. Okay, it's like the C dart from the old
that's
show.
True.
Speaking of grades, we're going to give letter grades for all the meaningful fantasy players coming up in Saturday, Sunday, and Monday's games. I hate the Monday game. Some team has some winner. The winner of this game has got a short week to prepare for next week. It's not fair.
Yeah, and then good chance they play a team that was on a bye.
Yeah, too, right. Yeah.
Which is, they want that extra. And it's Arizona, Los Angeles Rams, which we'll get to, but yeah, it's bizarre.
Bad deal. I don't like it.
So two games Saturday, three Sunday, and then the one Monday. Just make it 3-3.
Yeah. I mean, think about the advantage.
We want football all day long.
I'm fine with that.
Yeah, totally.
You know. But
what are we going to do?
I think it's a mistake, but you know, agreed. Let's say you're Cincinnati and Buffalo, who are the favorites to come out of the Saturday games. They will have a 2-day rest advantage over some team that played Monday. And I realize it's a different conference, but still, I don't like it. Anyway,
they like the ad revenue they'll get.
Yeah, I know. That's all they care about. That's the thing that matters the most. So this is a very traditional Fantasy Football Weekly in that we're going to break down the games, fantasy style, letter grades, the whole bit. And let's start with Las Vegas, Cincinnati. Brian, it feels like to me the Raiders just played their Super Bowl to get into this game, and I'm worried about a big letdown here.
Yes. Speaking of a rest advantage, Las Vegas poured their heart and soul into a five-quarter game on Sunday night.
Yes.
While the Bengals rested everybody. Mm-hmm. So that is why the Bengals are a 5.5-point favorite, over under of 49 points. So there should be some points in this game, and weather won't be an issue. 32 degrees, 9 miles per hour wind. So nothing to be worried about there. These teams actually did play in Las Vegas in week 11. The Bengals rolled the Raiders 32-13 in that game. Mm-hmm. We'll get to how the Bengals score that many points, but we'll start with the visiting team. That's the Raiders here, and Josh Jacobs. Can give him a B, though. The Bengals have allowed 100-plus rushing yards to running backs in three of their last four games. Yes, the week 18 game, the Bengals were resting everyone. But still, during that same span, opposing backs also averaged 4 catches per game. So pretty good numbers put up by opposing backs. And where would you guess Josh Jacobs finished in receptions among running backs this year?
Well, I know his receptions are way up. And so many backs got sidelined by injury. I bet he's safely inside the top 10 and maybe even top 5.
Yeah, fifth.
Fifth
among running backs. So he's proved he can catch the ball. So he'll see likely 20 touches in this game. He, in that week 11 game, they did get blown out. Like I said, Las Vegas, he had 9 carries for 37 yards, no touchdowns, but he did catch five passes in that game. So hopefully a little more production from Jacobs. I'm going to give him a B here. He's been playing better. I'm going to give Hunter Renfrow a B as well. Amazing season by Hunter really Renfrow. I mean, everyone's saying Cooper Kupp is fantasy MVP, which he is.
He is.
Renfrow is second silver medalist, in my opinion.
Deebo Samuel's a silver medalist.
Yeah, even though I saw over the last like 5 weeks, he had more carries and targets or something like that. Deebo Samuel.
Yeah.
But back to Renfrow, one of six wide receivers with at least 100 catches, 1,000 yards, and 9 touchdowns.
Wow.
Deebo Samuel was not one of those six. It was Renfrow, yeah. Cooper Kupp, Devontae Adams, Tyreek Hill, Justin Jefferson, and Stephon Diggs.
Yeah.
Talk about
all great players. But Samuel, but the reason Samuel didn't fall into that is because the rushing isn't part of that.
No, understood. And, yeah. And no knock on Deebo whatsoever. But unlike those guys, they had ADPs.
Yeah, right.
Mostly really high. Yeah, Renfrow did not have an ADP. I like Renfrow this week and give him a B. Cincinnati, top 12 in most catches allowed to wide receivers on the season over their last four games. They surrendered a wide receiver touchdown in each one. Just 4 catches for 30 yards in that week 11 meeting for Renfrow, but that's way in the past when it comes to
it's
Hunter.
Only week 11.
It was, but I don't know. He got so hot. I mean, he was playing well before that, but he closed the season so hot. I expect more from Renfrow out of this
Agreed.
One. So a B for him and a starting C grade for Zay Jones, who has seen more targets than Hunter Renfrow.
How about that?
Over the last four games.
Back, who ever thought Zay Jones would be a viable fantasy player? Any player.
We were shoveling dirt on his
the
grave of his career. And just, I think the Bengals will win this game. I think you do too. But there's a chance that Zay Jones will meet the Buffalo Bills down the line. How juicy of a revenge narrative would that be? But again, pretty good numbers given up by the Bengals to wide receivers, and Zay Jones is the clear-cut number two. If you want, you could argue he's the number one option over the last 4 weeks, so I'm going to give him a C grade. And Darren Waller returned last week, just 2 catches for 22 scoreless yards. Did see 9 targets, though, and the Bengals are top five. We're top five in the most catches, yards, and touchdowns surrendered to tight ends. So Darren Waller, B grade for him. He's expected to play. I don't see why he would not unless he suffers a setback, but he hasn't yet this week and unlikely to over the weekend. So a B for him. And based on all those three starting grades for those receivers, I will give Derek Carr a C. The Bengals have allowed 2 touchdown passes in 3 straight their last 3 games. Josh Johnson, Case Keenum in the mix there. So
yeah,
a 2 touchdown floor seems pretty feasible for Derek Carr. All right, over to the Bengals side. I'll be a little quicker here because these are pretty obvious starting grades for most players. Starting with Joe Mixon, he gets an A. He was practically the entire offense in that blowout win by the Bengals. 30 carries, 123 yards, 2 touchdowns. The Raiders have allowed a rushing touchdown to a running back in 5 straight games. 9 total touchdowns to the position during that span. Love Mixon, fully rested, fully healthy. He's the full go.
And he needed it. It felt like he was wearing down at the end of the year.
Oh, for sure. Yeah, that week off last week is going to do him wonders. Speaking of doing wonders, Ja'Marr Chase has been doing that most of the season. Just going to give him a B, though. Oakland has allowed 3 wide receiver touchdowns over the last 2 games, but they've been tougher against the position than that stat suggests. Mike Williams did top 100 yards last week against the Raiders, but that was thanks to the buzzer beater touchdown and the full extra quarter of play.
Yeah.
Before that, no wide receiver had topped 80 yards against Las Vegas since week 12. And on the season as a whole, only 4 opposing wide receivers managed to top 100 yards. So they've kind of held receivers in check in terms of, you know, hitting their ceiling.
Yeah.
Chase did score in the week 11 matchup, only caught 3 passes over 32 yards. It was Mixon all day in that game, as we just discussed. T. Higgins, going to give him a B as well. I like Chase just a little more, but Higgins virtually has the same prospects here against the Raiders. Just 2 catches for 15 yards against the Raiders in week 11. But again, that was all about Mixon.
And as a reminder, before Chase's week 17 explosion, the T. Higgins was getting notably more work, more balls, and was more reliable than Chase was.
And speaking of reliable, taking out week 18, none of the starters played for the Bengals. Tyler Boyd had scored in 3 straight games from weeks 15 to week 17.
Yeah.
So he got hot towards the end of the year. He had 6 catches for 49 yards in that first meeting. So I'm going to give him a C. And one more C to give out, C.J. Uzomah.
Oh.
I guess that's almost two C's I gave out to the listeners there. The Raiders were one of three teams to surrender double-digit touchdowns to tight ends. They were also top eight in the most catches and yards surrendered to the position. So
that would be bottom eight then.
Well, top eight in most catches. Well, since they're top eight in the most, which is a good thing.
They're a good thing for CJ. Their ranking would put them at the bottom eight.
If you're going to rank him, but if we're in terms of the most catches and yards allowed.
So if I'm putting most at the top, the worst is ranked number one, then they are top eight.
You're making this more confusing than it needs to be.
I think I probably
am. It's a good thing for CJ Uzomah. Okay,
that's the important thing.
Raiders top eight in the most catches and yards allowed to tight ends. And Joe Burrow, tempted to give him an A. I'm just a little worried this turns into more of a mixing game. So just a B here, but a very, very safe B. And of course, there's A upside with Burrow.
There is.
With that elite receiving.
There is. But I still think, I'm with you, I still think this game's largely solved on the ground. Do believe there's a chance that Vegas is a kind of a no-show for this game. Patriots take on the Bills as the second of the Saturday games, and the key storyline here, without a doubt, is the weather. 4 degrees at kickoff.
Yeah.
That's it, is the current forecast. Not much wind, fortunately. Now, New England beat Buffalo in the earlier bad weather game. That game was a little bit different in that it was a wind game. It was cold. It was like 25 degrees, like, but it was 40 mile an hour winds. So this is a different kind of cold weather game. In that game, as you'll remember, they only threw the ball 4 times and they ran the ball 34 times. And this is going to be a little bit different. But let me warn people, when you get to single digits, that's when the game really turns into molasses. And the passing game is particularly affected by the cold weather. Mm-hmm. The average passing game in single digit temperatures going back 8 years is 16 completions for 160 yards and 0.2 touchdowns. That's it. And that's going to shape a lot of what you're going to hear here. Now, you may remember the Packers like 3 weeks ago played a cold weather game against Minnesota. That game went off at 10 degrees. So it did not factor into the looks of what we saw here, although Aaron Rodgers did put up a good fantasy game in that game. Okay, so let's talk about the Patriots side first. The whole passing game's on the bench. You have the cold weather. You've got Mac Jones with no cold weather experience, and then you've got a very good Buffalo pass defense, even without Tre'Davious White. Since week 6, the average passing game against Buffalo is 201 yards and 0.6 touchdowns. That feels like I don't even think Mac Jones is going to get to the 201 yards in this cold of weather, and about a coin flip's chance of one touchdown sounds right for Mac Jones. And that means I don't like any of his receivers anyway. And I wouldn't anyway, even without the weather, I wouldn't like any of them against this defense. So yeah, they're all dead.
Mac, the prop is roughly for Mac Jones's passing yards.
150?
184.5.
I'd go under.
Oh, yeah, I mean, but definitely not going to hit 200, you said.
Okay, so let's go over to the running game. You know, we've seen Ramondre Stevenson and Damian Harris run the ball a lot in the other bad weather game. Harris has been battling this hamstring injury for months now, and he's expected to play in this game. He's on the probable side of questionable. And when he does play, he's pretty bankable if he can just get through the game. He's got, get this for Stevens, or for Damian Harris. Touchdowns in 5 straight games and touchdowns in 9 of his last 10.
Wow.
That's Damian Harris. By the way, can I peacock for a minute?
Absolutely. There's peacocks in the offseason or postseason.
Fantasy Football
Nine
Weekly.
Times.
We'll get it there. Always the last one.
It's always the last one.
It's a different board than the regular season.
So you may recall that we had a tough question in the preseason. I think it was our final preseason tough question of the year was running backs who can get to 15 touchdowns. The correct answer that I gave you guys was Damian Harris.
I was not on that show, but
you may not have been. I'm not saying you didn't get it right. Well, I am saying I did.
There you go.
I think he had 15. I think he had 15 on the nose, although I could be wrong. Anyway, so back to Stevenson and Harris. I believe Stevenson comes into this not on the injury report at all, and that muddies up the works a little bit here, and Stevenson may end up getting more work, and he might be the safer play. You may remember that Harris had to leave the previous Buffalo bad weather game early, and maybe a scenario like that plays itself out here. Harris topped 100 yards in both of the matchups with Buffalo this year, although Stevenson did not play in the second one. And throughout the season, just looking back through Buffalo's run defense, good backs and power running teams, teams that really tried to run the ball, almost always succeeded against Buffalo. They're a middle-of-the-pack run defense, and that's how they're going to, that's how the Patriots are going to attack with Stevenson and Harris. And that's why they're both B grades.
My main concern with Stevenson is he's gotten himself in the doghouse pretty quick several times this season. It felt like,
well, that was earlier in the year. I think it's happened entirely.
Like at least two or three times. I feel like he's fumbled. Well,
Don't fumble.
Yeah.
And even in 4-degree weather, don't fumble.
Do not.
The ball's an ice cube. Don't fumble. All right. Let's talk about the Bills side. I want to go back to the running game, which I believe will be emphasized for both teams. Devin Singletary gets a B game, even though very quiet games in both of the regular season matchups with New England. Right in the ballpark, it was 10 carries and 12 carries in the two games. That's it. And only in the 30s for rushing yards. But I think you're going to see a lot more rushing here. Nobody else is really getting any consistent usage outside of Singletary.
Not our guy, Zach Moss. That's
not
sure.
Certainly not. And the Patriots run defense has been gashed down the stretch. Duke Johnson just ran for 117 yards. Two Tennessee backs in the same game topped 100 yards. Jonathan Taylor put up 170 yards. D'Ernest Johnson, 157 total yards.
Wow.
So, yeah, this is a Patriots run defense that is not that good, and that's why I'm giving Singletary the B grade. Josh Allen, even though I warned you on how the single-digit temperatures affect the passing game, he's just running so well right now. Get this. He's averaging 68 rushing yards per game over the last 5 weeks. And I think with the bitter cold weather, he's going to run as much as he always has and maybe more. And if you throw out the wind game, when these guys met in the second game, he had 114 yards and three passing touchdowns in that game. So just one way or another, I think Josh Allen cobbles together a B-level grade game here. The only receiver I'm starting is Stephon Diggs, and only a C grade. I worry about the cold weather. Also, Buffalo allowed the fewest wide receiver yards, just 112 per game, and the fewest wide receiver touchdowns at just six. That's half of the next closest team. Half. Diggs runs from all over the field, but he most often runs from J.C. Jackson's side of the field, and Jackson is excellent, allowing just 20 yards per game in his coverage. He's given up just three scores all year. As for any of the other Buffalo wide receivers, well, the problem is the Patriots rank number two in wide receiver yards allowed at just 128 per game, and they've given up the sixth fewest wide receiver touchdowns. And I'm worried about Sanders, McKenzie, Davis, Beasley. How do they all get fed in bitterly cold conditions? One of them probably does something, but you can't know who's coming.
One of them like needs to be out to consider the other.
They're all healthy for this game. So I think you sit them all. Same with Dawson Knox. Patriots have been fantastic against tight ends. Only one tight end has cracked 29 yards all year. Knox's two games against New England, just 14 yards and 11 yards with a score. New England only allowed four tight end scores all year.
Yeah, Dawson Knox, that goose egg in week 17, that stung me in many, many leagues.
Yeah.
That was bad.
He's become a little touchdown dependent, whereas pre-injury, he was getting like the five catches, the six catches, chipping in some yardage, and he was scoring. Now you're just looking to get the touchdown out of Dawson Knox. At least it's been that way of late, and I think it's that way in this game too.
If you're like picking, if you're playing daily, just Saturday only, I'd like Uzoma over Knox all day, and Waller, agree. Of course. Yeah, Knox.
Is Waller really an of course at this stage?
No,
Big gain last week.
Yeah, he did.
I don't know.
But Waller was coming back. But anyway, we don't like Dawson Knox.
No, there are going to be other tight ends you can pivot to, and we'll tell you about them when we come back in a moment as Fantasy Football Weekly resumes in just a matter of seconds.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only, must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cashback on purchases and pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Welcome back, Fantasy Football Weekly. Paul Ciarchi and Brian Johnson with you. The Sunday slate, Brian. Three games. Let's start with Philadelphia, Tampa as our next game.
Yeah, that's the first one on the on the docket.
Yeah.
And windy.
They are talking about rain and wind.
Like high winds, almost pushing 20 miles per hour.
That's not high winds. 20 miles an hour is not a factor. That is not for NFL arms. I'm not worried. I am not worried about that part at all.
All right.
The rain sometimes works to the advantage of the offense. Slick fields can be better on the offense than the defense. These teams met. Philadelphia and Tampa met in week six. Philadelphia has, I think, one viable pathway to upsetting the Bucs. It's not a running back by committee. It's not Jalen Hurts throwing the ball to Quez Watkins. It is Jalen Hurts running.
Yeah.
That's the special thing. If lightning has to strike to get the Eagles to do it, I think Hurts has to have a big rushing game.
He needs that 80 to 100 rushing yards and one or two touchdowns.
I'm with you. Now, he scored two touchdowns in the earlier meeting.
He can do it.
And so he can do it. Now, 2 weeks ago on his still gimpy ankle, Hurts ran for 44 yards. You remember he rested last week, so I think that ankle's in really good shape. Near 100% probably at this stage. And Tampa's a great run defense, but not against quarterbacks.
Nope.
Over the past 5 weeks, Tampa's allowed the most quarterback rushing yards, including a 100-yard game to Josh Allen. So that's why I'm giving Jalen Hurts a B grade. I don't like the passing. I think he's sitting at He threw for 115 yards in the first game, and I think he's sitting in another game at like the mid-150s here, passing. But, and by the way, check the status of cornerbacks Jamel Dean and Sean Murphy Bunting. They both got hamstring injuries. Their status is not yet clear. If they both don't go, I like Hurts a little even more than this. You could even upgrade him to an A. But I think the rushing's going to be there for him, but not the passing. And that's why I've only got a B grade in Dallas Goedert and a C grade in Devonta Smith, and nobody else gets a grade out of the passing game. Let's talk about Goedert for a second. He has scored in just two games since the opener. I didn't realize it had been so bad for Goedert.
Oh.
That's not good. But by far the safest of the Eagles receiving targets, he has topped 71 yards in three of the last four games, and his average game since Zach Ertz was traded is a solid 61 yards, which is good by tight end standards.
Oh, yeah, you'll take that.
Tampa's a middle-of-the-pack tight end defense, but Goddard's better than basically any tight end they've faced all season long. B grade in Dallas Goedert. C grade in Devonta Smith. He may have just completely hit the rookie wall, Brian. Mm-hmm. Over the past seven games, his average game is three catches, 44 yards, and 0.1 touchdowns. That's not good.
No, it's not.
So that's it for Devonta Smith and everybody else I've got on the bench. Tampa's run defense is fantastic. No back has topped 83 yards since week seven. Nobody's topped 100 yards all year. Tampa's allowing just 3.9 yards per carry on the season. And then you've got the backfield by committee. Miles Sanders is going to try to play through a broken hand. I don't expect him to be able to catch the ball, so he's not going to help you that way. He probably lands in the 50-ish rushing yard area. But then Jordan Howard is expected to return from COVID, and he's out late. He's been out carried by Boston Scott and appears to be third in the pecking order, so I don't have a starting grade on him either, but he's going to be in the mix, and they might give him goal line use. Then there's Boston Scott. His role has been all over the place, but he's gotten more carries than Howard lately has, and he has scored touchdowns recently. So, but, you know, but that was also in a mop up game last week. So, I'm just putting them all on the bench.
It's a mess. And they like Kenny Gainwell in the pass game too, and that's really the best angle for running backs against the Bucs.
Against Tampa.
But,
it is,
but you're not going to trust Kenny Gainwell in most.
And that's
spots.
That's part of the reason why I don't have Sanders with a letter grade. Is because if the broken hand means he can't catch, that's the one thing that backs can do against Tampa.
Yeah, and in pass protection, broken hand, not ideal either.
No, probably not. So, let's go to the Tampa Bay side. A grade on Tom Brady. He's been a huge fantasy factor the past 2 weeks, even with Godwin and Brown out like they will be in this game. The Eagles' pass defense looks okay on paper, but they've played an insanely soft series of quarterbacks. Get this. Here, I'm going to going backwards in time. Most recently.
Yeah, it's a bad list.
Heinicke, Glennon, Gilbert, Zach Wilson, Daniel Jones, Trevor Siemian, Teddy Bridgewater. You got to go that far back before they get a good quarterback. Justin Herbert, 356 yards in that game for Justin Herbert.
I would contest it's the easiest schedule for a defending Super Bowl champion. And it's not like. Those are all those bad
teams.
That's
the Eagles. Those are the Eagles' opponents.
Oh, my bad.
Yeah, those are the Eagles' opponents.
Gotcha.
And that's one of the reasons why a lot of people think the Eagles are going to get destroyed in this game is their wins have come against those caliber of quarterbacks. Gotcha. Mike Evans is also an A grade. He's top 99 yards or scored in 8 of the last 10 games. Normally a lower volume guy, Mike Evans, but Brown is out. Godwin's out. Cyril Grayson's out. Evans simply has to be a bigger part of the game plan here. He runs from all parts of the field, but will likely see shadow coverage from the Slay Ride.
Slay Ride.
Darius Slay.
But the Slays really operate better in snow, not rain.
Slay has been great this year. He's allowed one touchdown since week 3 and just 28 yards per game in his coverage over the last 7 weeks.
He was looking pretty cooked last year at times.
He was. He was.
Getting burned a lot, but he's bounced back.
He has bounced back nicely. Rob Gronkowski, also an A grade. He also has to be a big part of the passing game with everybody else hurt. He's playing huge minutes, averaging 90% of the snaps. No other tight end, by the way, is a factor anymore. You know, those days of Cameron Braid and O.J. Howard popping up and stealing stuff from him, that's all dead. 10-plus targets in 3 of the past 4 games for Rob Gronkowski, and the Eagles have allowed the most tight end touchdowns, 14.
Yep.
I love Gronk in this game.
The easiest matchup for tight ends this season by far.
Mm-hmm.
The Eagles were.
Leonard Fournette's expected to play. He's been activated from injured reserve. We know that Ronald Jones has already been ruled out. So I'm assuming Fournette's going to be able to go. If it's not Fournette, then you're going to get the 1-2 attack of Le'Veon Bell, who is totally cooked, and Keyshawn Vaughn. Gross. Hopefully it'll be Fournette here. I believe he'll play through his hamstring injury, but it is a tough matchup against a good Eagles run defense, giving up just 4 yards per game. No back has topped 85 yards since way back in week 5 against the Eagles. Fournette could be great through the air, though. The Eagles have allowed the second most running back receptions, and Fournette topped 6 receptions in 5 of his past 6 games. So I think Fournette is going to, between running okay and a pretty good passing game, he'll get you to a B grade.
It's worth mentioning, though, Giovanni Bernard was designated active to return.
Yeah.
And, not like you should start him, but they do.
They have another receiving option. Yeah, right, sure. Right. All the other receivers are on the bench. You could throw a dart at Tyler Johnson or Rashad Perryman or Scotty Miller, but they've all proven themselves to be totally unreliable, even when the team needs them. And those receivers have missed so much time, but it hasn't mattered. Those guys have done nothing. So we're not starting any of them.
Sounds good to me.
Let's go to the second game, which is Pittsburgh. It's actually the 3rd game on Sunday, but for our purposes, second game. Pittsburgh taking on Kansas City, Brian. This game has got, I believe, a 12.5-point spread. Most people expecting this to be a one-sided affair.
Yeah, that spread might be a little light on the Kansas City side, considering these teams played just in week 16 and the Steelers got spanked 36-10.
Yeah.
So kind of a repeat performance expected there, but that's why they play the game. We'll see, but not liking a whole lot on the Steelers side. Starting with Najee Harris, who did practice in full on Friday, now listed as questionable. His status was pretty uncertain earlier in the week. So assuming he's going to play, I'm going to go under the assumption
Yeah.
He plays on Sunday. Just going to give him a C, though. Not a good matchup. The Chiefs have allowed just 9 total touchdowns to running backs all season, rushing and receiving. Harris did manage to scrape together 110 combo yards in week 16. No touchdowns. He did have 5 catches, just 17 receiving yards. So kind of a safe 100 combo yard floor. Touchdown would be nice, but again, he didn't do that week 16, and the Chiefs don't allow a lot of those to running backs. The Chiefs have surrendered the 6th most wide receiver touchdowns, though, with 19, and one of those went to Diontae Johnson in week 16, who I'm giving a B to. Also had 6 catches, 51 yards in that game, and I would expect a positive game script for the Steelers pass game, even with Ben Roethlisberger, a quarterback who we will mention very briefly in a few moments. For the rest of the receivers, Chase Claypool, pretty down year for him. I will give him a C, though, averaging 7-plus targets over his last 3 games. So he should have opportunities to produce in, a likely positive game script for the pass game. Just 4 catches for 41 yards for Claypool in week 16, but hopefully that's a floor for him. Here and
it feels like he hasn't had a good game in forever. And for a guy who last year was a very safe touchdown scorer, Chase Claypool,
even running the ball,
right? Where are the touchdowns this year? Yeah. I don't have it in front of me. I'm guessing he's had a 3 touchdown season.
I feel like it's more Roethlisberger's fault than Claypool's, but both pretty disappointing.
Hey, how about here? You know whose fault it might be? Pat Freiermuth's fault, because that guy's turned into an end zone beast.
I was going to go to Freiermuth. He's listed next in my notes, but then I wasn't aware that Juju Smith-Schuster.
Expected to be active for this game, but I don't think I bet he doesn't get a ton of time. He's missed half a season.
Yeah.
I don't think he gets a ton of play here.
It was a shoulder injury, though, so he's probably been staying in shape, not game shape. So I like him more with the upper body injury than returning from the lower body injury, but a bench grade for Juju. We'll see what he does here. We will consider him next week if the Steelers...
In the unlikely event they
advance. Now, speaking of Pat Freiermuth, you just brought up, he did not play in that Week 16 game. I think he had the concussion the week before. The Chiefs have not allowed a tight end touchdown since Week 8. And during that same span, only Dalton Schultz managed to top 35 yards in terms of a lone tight end. Mm-hmm. Schultz had 53, so a tough matchup for tight ends. The Chiefs are. It's worth noting, I guess, that when Freiermuth sat out, I never even heard of these guys. Zach Gentry and Kevin Rader, R-A-D-E-R, combined for 5 catches for 38 yards. So that's probably a safe floor for Muth, but you'd want a touchdown from him. But again, The Chiefs have not been giving a lot of those out to tight ends in the second half of the season. And lastly, I'm going to put a bench grade on Freiermuth. I mean, it's tough to gauge these grades too, because it's not like we have the whole league we're dealing with. So he's not really a bench, but I'll get a C. He's not as popular to play as you would think based on name alone.
Because this week I would pay for Rob Gronkowski if I'm playing. You know, if I'm in DFS. I think if there's a tight end I'm going to splurge on, I think it's Gronk based on the matchups.
And there's a pretty good tight end on the other side of this game as well. We'll get to him in a second after I say Ben Roethlisberger on the bench. He was in a presser earlier this week. I thought I'd heard it was taken out of context, him saying we don't have a chance, but
tongue in cheek, I'm sure.
I don't know. I think he's still ready. I think he was pissed he had to cancel his Cabo vacation or whatever, put it off. But he's on the bench, just 159 passing yards.
How about Tomlin falling asleep during the Sunday night game? That would decide whether you're in or out of the playoffs. How do you do that?
He probably was just assuming they were going to do the tie thing too and didn't make the extra effort to stay awake. But yeah, that was pretty funny to hear that he did that. All right, over to the Chiefs side. Clyde Edwards-Helaire, not going to play. Mm-hmm. And that definitely clears, unmuddies the water at running back. So Darrell Williams, going to give him a B with that news. In week 16, I think this was the game where CEH got hurt. He had 9 carries for 27 yards and a touchdown. Then Williams came in. He had 11 carries, 55 yards, and then 3 catches, 30 yards. Give that all to Williams, and that's a solid B grade, in my opinion, in a game where the Chiefs are probably going to control the clock for the most part. That's pretty much it for the running game for the Chiefs. Over to the pass game. Tyreek Hill,
Obvious A.
Only two catches for 19 yards in that Week 16 game, but he was coming off of COVID.
That was the bit. So, they got up early, and they just rested Hill the rest of the game.
Pittsburgh has been tougher against wide receivers as of late over the last 5 weeks. They're bottom five in yards allowed to wide receivers. That means the least amount of yards allowed to the position.
Top five.
Don't do that. But during that same Pittsburgh has surrendered five wide receiver touchdowns. Three of those went to Kansas City's Byron Pringle and Mecole Hardman.
Yeah.
So I'm going to give both of them
a C. You know how I feel about Byron Pringle.
I know. I always prefer Pringle over Hardman.
Yep.
Whenever I decide to roll with one of these guys in daily or something, I'm always on the wrong. Always flip the wrong or, choose the wrong side of the coin, however you want to put it. So they both get a C. I'm not sure who's going to produce here. Odds are both of them won't again now that Tyreek Hill is fully healthy. But I like Pringle a little more. Just like you, Pringle had two touchdowns in that game. Hardman had the one. Pringle also had twice as many catches as Hardman in that Week 16 game. So we'll give him a stronger C out of those two. Travis Kelce, we were talking about a pretty good tight end on the other side of this game. That is him. He did not play in Week 16. He had COVID. He was on the COVID list for that one, but still an A for him. Were you going to say something?
No.
Oh, okay. Still an A, despite the fact the Steelers have only allowed two tight end touchdowns all season. Four tight end touchdowns all season, but two of those came in Week 17 recently against Cleveland. Noah Gray and Blake Bell combined for three catches and 23 yards for Kansas City in Week 16.
That does not count.
With Kelce on the shelf. Kelce will do much better. He's an obvious A grade, and of course, so is Mahomes, who had 258 and 3 in that Week 16 game with no Kelce and a limited Tyreek Hill. So you got to love Patty Mahomes here.
When we come back, we'll get to the other Sunday game, San Francisco and Dallas, and then the Monday nighter, which is Arizona taking on the Rams when we return Fantasy Football Weekly.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Refinancing your car at Kemba Financial Credit Union can get you quick access to cash to help manage high-rate debts and expenses. Get up to $500 next day cash back, plus no payments for 90 days, and take cash equity out. Make your car work for you and drive away with extra cash. Apply at Kemba.org. Restrictions apply. Offer ends April 30th, 2024. Federally insured by NCUA.
Hey, have you ever used Cheapo Air?
For years, and I really like it. With Cheapo Air, you can book online, use their app, or even over the phone. They've got great prices on over 500 airlines and millions of accommodations. They're my go-to for travel planning. And if you join their Club Miles program, you can earn points to save on the cost of your travel. Book on the app, and you get double points.
Sounds like it's time I tried Cheapo Air.
Call Cheapo Air at 855-247-3279 or visit cheapoair.com/podcast.
Final segment, Fantasy Football Weekly. Niners take on the Cowboys in the middle of the Sunday slate of games. And I believe, to be transparent, I'm not a believer in the Cowboys. And I'm going to give you some reasons why. You're going to hear me leaning you towards the Niners. And you can decide if you think I'm right or wrong. You can make that call if you want to. I want to start with the 49ers side. Beginning with the running game. I love Elijah Mitchell here.
I thought you were going to start with Deebo Samuel.
Don't tempt me. Yeah, the running game, because he does siphon off about five carries a game. But you know, the funny thing is, Mitchell is still a freaking workhorse. Whenever he's active, not only do they play him, they pound him. Averaging 24 carries per game in the second half of the season.
Wow.
In 24. Dallas sees an average of 25 carries per game. So the volume's going to continue for Mitchell. And even in losses, like the loss in Seattle in week 13, 22 carries. Even when the Niners are behind early, like last week against the Rams, 21 carries. So there's no game script in which Mitchell flops. He gets tons of work. He's averaging almost 5 yards per carry. He runs behind the NFL's number one ranked run blocking offensive line. A grade for Elijah Mitchell.
All right,
in this game on volume alone.
Elijah
Mitchell. So Deebo Samuels, I mentioned, siphons off some work, and between what he's proven he can do in the passing game, to me, it's just an obvious A, and I'm just going to move on, and let's move to other parts of the passing game that I think are more salient, including Jimmy Garoppolo, one or two touchdowns in 9 straight games for Garoppolo. So he gives you the safe floor, but the limited ceiling, topped 300 yards in back-to-back games coming into this week. The thing about Garoppolo is that he needs to get the ball. Get the ball in the hands of your playmakers. Deebo Samuel and George Kittle and Brandon Ayuk, just let them go. That's all he's got to do. And he can put together a decent game here, which is why I've got a B grade on him. The Cowboys have played a lot of just middle-of-the-road quarterbacks. Sam Darnold, Bridgewater, Glennon twice, Ryan Heinicke twice. Good quarterbacks almost always fare well. I mean, Garoppolo, to me, is a average to good quarterback. That's it, and he's going to be fine. And he's going to get his yards in this thing. George Kittle, B grade. Dallas is a very good tight end defense. Only 2 tight end touchdowns allowed in the last 10 games. No opposing tight end has topped 48 yards in the last 7 games. But he's George Kittle. So I'm still putting a B grade on him, even in a tough matchup, because he's great when he's healthy, and he is right now. Brandon Ayuk, also B grade. He runs from every spot on the field and his plus matchups in all of those spots, including against Trayvon Diggs, ostensibly Dallas's best cornerback. You know where I'm going with this, Brian, because we say it pretty much every Fantasy Football Weekly. Trayvon Diggs has the most interceptions in the league and the most yards allowed in his coverage. He's the only player in the NFL that's given up 1,000 receiving yards in his coverage. Trayvon Diggs does not worry me. Anthony Brown, another cornerback, he's allowed the 4th most yards in his coverage. So Brandon Ayuk's going to be fine, too. B grade on him. And a C grade on Juwan Jennings, an increasing snap count in 4 straight games, scored twice last week. And I don't trust Dallas to defend the wide receiver position. So if you need a dart throw, Juwan Jennings is somebody you can use.
I like it.
Now I'll talk about why Dallas worries me. Dak Prescott feels like he's rolling into this game red hot, Brian. But his 4 touchdown game 3 games ago was against Washington's COVID-ravaged defense. Does not count. His 5 touchdown game last week was against Philly scrubs. They didn't play any starters. That does not count. This week, I fear that he reverts to the guy he was in November and December, which was very inconsistent. San Francisco's allowed 1 or 2 touchdown passes in 6 straight games and no more than 2 touchdowns in any game since the opener. I feel like the upside on Dak is 2 touchdowns. The downside is 0. Only 1 quarterback has topped 243 yards against San Francisco since the opening game.
Wow.
243 is nothing. The San Francisco pass defense is sneaky good. And that's why I've got just a C grade on Dak Prescott and a C grade on his receivers. So you've got Amari Cooper, finally healthy. He's gotten 11, 7, and 7 targets the last 3 games. But again, 2 of those 3 games don't count. And the game surrounding the Washington COVID game and the Philadelphia backup scrub game, Amari Cooper had a 2-catch, 8-yard game and a 3-catch, 18-yard game. Ugh. And his downside is terrible. Opposing number one receivers have had consistent success against the Niners, but who is the number one receiver for Dallas?
Cedric Wilson.
You wonder, don't you?
It seems Lamb. Like at the last few weeks.
Yeah. All right.
So I would still say CD.
I would too. CD Lamb is also a C grade. 7-game scoreless streak for CD Lamb. Gross. During which his average game is 4.5 catches, 53 yards. Obviously scoreless. With Gallup out, he's running from the outside, which is better because that's where he played in the first half of the season when he was electrifying. So he's back outside now. Cedric Wilson's on the inside. Wilson runs from the slot almost exclusively. He's been pretty reliable with Gallup out. 3 scores in the last 2 games, but he needs touchdowns because his volume is pretty low. But he's a dart throw and a C grade for Cedric Wilson as well. And lastly, Dalton Schultz. San Francisco is a fantastic tight end defense. on average giving up just 3 catches for 29 yards and 0.2 touchdowns per game. So I can't like Schultz here. And Schultz has got to share some of those 29 yards with Blake Jarwin, and that's not good. So there's your passing game for Dallas and why I'm nervous about Dallas in this game, and I think they're going to lose, even though they're favored by 4. Let's talk Zeke and Pollard, and then I'll wrap up this game.
All right.
Like all season, you need a touchdown from Zeke because his yardage against teams who are playing their starters, again, which was 2 of the last 3 games nobody was, is terrible. Since week 8, his average game in those games, 39 rushing yards and 19 receiving yards. That's
brutal.
It. 49ers finished 6th against the run. Aside from the Travis Homer fake punt, no runner has topped 58 yards since week 9 against the Niners. I don't much like Zeke, just a C grade. We'll hope for a touchdown. And for Tony Pollard, completely off the injury report, so that's nice with the foot injury. You could use him as a wild card, just knowing that he's going to get some touches and he's got more big play potential than Zeke has. But again, San Francisco's good against the run, and just a C grade for Tony Pollard. All right, you get to wrap it up, my friend.
All right.
Monday Nighter, Arizona taking on the Rams.
First Monday night football game in NFL history, and we hate it. We hate
playoff that game?
Yeah, playoff game, of course. Arizona at the Rams, these teams divisional rivals, so that means they play twice, of course. Once, the first game in week 4, L.A. won 37-20. Mm-hmm. Oh, no, I'm sorry, Arizona won in L.A. 37-20. Then in week 14, L.A. won in Arizona 30-23. So we'll reference both those games here, of course. We'll start with the running backs for the Cardinals. Very dicey situation right now.
Yeah,
with James Conner,
Connor's not going to go.
He hasn't practiced all week. He's a game time decision with this rib
injury. Guys who don't practice all week have got like a 5-10% chance of playing.
Yeah, it's probably unlikely he plays. He and Edmonds did both play in the week four game. Edmonds had 12 carries, 120 yards, no touchdowns. Conner had 50 yards on the ground, 2 touchdowns. Mm-hmm. So. If Connor somehow manages to play, I'll give both a C, but we're kind of going under the assumption Connor is out. So if Edmonds is the lone back, I'm not too worried about Eno Benjamin or whatever that other dude's name is. I'm going to give him a B in this game because I think it's easier. The Rams are a great defense, but they're a little easier to run on than to pass on. So I'll give Edmonds a B if Connor is out, which it's looking like that will be the case. Over to the pass game, Christian Kirk. Just a C for him. The Rams are really thin at safety. So thin, they've lured Eric Weddle out of retirement.
Yeah, crazy.
He's been out of the league for like 2 years at least, something like that. Wonder if he's kept his beard growing all that time. Probably not. He better shave that. But the Rams, not thin at cornerback with Jalen Ramsey and company. But that said, LA has surrendered 3 wide receiver touchdowns over the last 2 weeks. And 2 100-yard wide receiver performances. Those went to Justin Jefferson and Brandon Ayuk. And neither of them scored any of the said 3 touchdowns that I just mentioned. So production has been coming from the wide receivers against the Rams, but Kirk hasn't produced really against LA this season. In week 4, just 1 catch for 5 yards. DeAndre Hopkins was probably healthy
that's
for that game. In week 14, Kirk did manage 86 yards, but just on 3 catches. So not a very high ceiling for Kirk in this one, I think.
And Kirk's had a bunch of positive matchups in December that he has not really cashed in on, unfortunately.
Yep, not at all. And A.J. Green, I mean, he's been the corpse of A.J. Green most of the season, but likely his 2 best games of the year have come against the Rams. In week 4, he had 5 catches, 67 yards, and a touchdown. Week 14, he had 7 catches and 102 yards. So a C grade for A.J. Green based on those numbers. And Kirk and Zach Ertz probably draw more attention than Green will in this game. So I like Green with the C. Speaking of Zach Ertz, I'm going to give him a C as well. The Rams have allowed the 3rd fewest tight end touchdowns all year, just 4. But opposing tight ends have averaged more than 5 catches and 50 yards against L.A. this year. So Ertz should have a fairly safe floor in PPR. He did have in week 4, he was still on the Eagles and not face the Rams in that one, but he did have 5 catches, 42 yards in the week 14 game. So that's about 9-10 PPR points.
We'll take that from our tight end
any day. And lastly, for the Cardinals, Kyler Murray, gonna give him a B. He will need, just like Jalen Hurts, he's gonna need like
he's
a full on dual threat
agreed
game. But he wasn't running earlier in the year, but he has run a lot more since returning from injury in week 13. Since then, Murray has averaged 46 rushing yards per game. Mm-hmm. And that number is heavily suppressed by his 3 rushing yards in that fluky loss to the Lions. So really averaging closer to 60, 70 rushing yards over the last 5-6 weeks. So I like Murray with a B here. He has had good games in both meetings with the Rams, 268 and 2, added 39 rushing yards in week 4. Then he threw for 383 yards in week 14, had 61 rushing yards in that one against LA. So a B for Kyler Murray. It's all going to be, he's going to have to carry the team on his shoulders for Arizona to have any chance. All right. Man, these are some thorny games that we're getting. This is like a full episode.
It really is.
Were you going to say something? Sorry.
No, it's just the parallel with Kyler Murray and Jalen Hurts to me is very, it really is very similar. Yeah. I think they have to be special, and a lot of it has to come on the ground. Now, Murray is a far better passer than Jalen Hurts, so he can be special through the air, but mostly for the last month, I don't know, since Thanksgiving, he hasn't been that special through the air. They've been letting him run more, and I do like Murray on the ground to have a pretty nice game here.
Yeah, I'm with you. Speaking of on the ground, let's talk about the Rams running back, starting with Sony Michel.
Yeah.
Gonna give him a C because Cam Akers is back. We'll mention him. We'll talk about him in a minute.
I don't think Akers is gonna get much work. Do you?
We'll talk about him in a second. Let's talk about Sony first. Arizona has allowed the fewest rushing touchdowns to running backs this season, just 6, mm-hmm. and just 1 receiving touchdown to the position as well. So that's not great, but opposing running backs are averaging nearly 140 combo yards per game against Arizona, so it's not the worst matchup for Sony Michel. I would be giving him a B, but I'm a little worried about Cam Akers, who says he feels 100%. Of course, he's going to say that.
Yeah.
But he did have 5 carries last week and 3 catches. That's, you know, 8 opportunities, 8 touches. Taken away from Sony, and one would think he's going to
expand at least
10 to 12. So that's a significant amount of work that Sony's going to concede to Cam Akers, who is the better running back when healthy.
But that's a big, the Achilles injury, normal, it takes a long time to get right. This is not like other kinds of injuries.
So bench grade for Akers, though. You got to bench him.
All right, good.
See what we got there.
On the same page, yes.
But I think we do see him. He's bumping Sony down from a B to a C, though, for me. Cooper Kupp, though, he's an A, as he has been all year. The week 4 meeting, the first meeting, might have been his worst game of the year when he had 5 catches for 64 scoreless yards.
Yeah.
11.4 points, his worst game of the year. That's pretty crazy. But then in week 14, went off, 13 catches, 123 yards, and a touchdown against the Cardinals. So easy A for Cooper Kupp. OBJ, Odell Beckham Jr., going to give him a C. The Cardinals surrendered the most wide receiver touchdowns this year, 27. Mm. But they allow just 13 catches, 150 yards per game to wide receivers as a whole, which is not awful in terms of fantasy production, but it's not very good either. It's pretty much middle of the road. And OBJ and Van Jefferson, kind of the same player at this point in their career, at least with OBJ just, you know, limited time with the Rams. So going to give he and Van the C. Van Jefferson scored in both meetings against the Cardinals. In week 4, he had 6 catches, 90 yards, and a touchdown. And I believe Robert Woods was still healthy in that game.
Yep.
And then in week 14, 58 yards and a touchdown for Van Jefferson. So like him with a C. I do not like Tyler Higbee, though. He is on the bench. The Cardinals allowed just 2 tight end touchdowns all season. Mm. And only 2 tight ends managed to top 50 yards against them all year.
Wow.
George Kittle had 101, and then Dalton Schultz had 54. Only two tight ends to top 50 yards. Higbee did not play in the week 14 game. And in week 4, he had 4 catches, 36 yards. That's probably his floor and his ceiling in this game.
What a disappointing season for Higbee.
Sure. Yeah.
Man, people, we spent the whole offseason talking about if you put Higbee and Gerald Everett together, you've got a top 5 tight end.
Oh, ironically enough, somehow, Everett had a better year.
He probably did.
With Seattle.
He probably did. And, you know, Higbee, I don't understand how that passing game and Cooper Kupp was so good, but that should have all come out of Tyler Higbee. You know, I don't know how it happened that Higbee wasn't able to be a bigger part of this offense.
Yeah, he was a disappointment for sure. And lastly, Matt Stafford kind of got this toe issue going on. I think he should be fine to play Monday night. Going to give him a B. He had 280 and 2 in week 4, 287 and 3 touchdowns in the week 14 game. He's got Cooper Kupp. He's got Odell Beckham. He'll be
okay.
Just fine from a fantasy perspective. Yeah. Safe B.
You know, he's been playing. Stafford has made some bad mistakes in the last month, some really bad passes. He almost gave the Vikings game away. ugly pass against Baltimore, interception, pick six. It's, you know, it'll be fascinating to see what Stafford does. Is there any player with more pressure in the playoffs than Matthew Stafford? You were brought in to be the guy who would elevate a playoff team to a Super Bowl team. They gave up first round picks to get you.
Good point.
There's a lot on, and you know, it's not like Matthew Stafford's got a big track record in the playoffs.
No, they just said that one year when Dez caught it. Yep. That was the Dez caught it year, right? When he didn't catch it, I believe.
Correct.
He had Calvin Johnson then too.
Yes.
And we love Cooper Kupp and Odell Beckham, but neither of them are Calvin Johnson.
Really? Cooper Kupp is, I mean, look, Calvin Johnson's amazing. I'm not taking anything away from him.
No, really,
the comparison with Cooper Kupp, by just like output, it's actually very similar. And I think the last receiver to hit the triple crown was Calvin Johnson that year from Matthew Stafford. Now here's Cooper Kupp from Matthew Stafford.
Yeah. So he, like you said, a lot of pressure on him to get it done. And I think he will, though. But this should be a good game, even though it's on Monday night, which is dumb.
We don't like that part. Thanks, Brian.
Yeah.
Appreciate everybody listening. You got to the end of the a long episode, and it did. I thought this was going to be like 30 minutes or going an hour. Good heavens.
Well, six games. That's almost
half our slate of Fantasy Football Weekly slate. Yeah.
All right. What are the three tough questions now?
Yeah, right. No, exactly. Thanks for getting to the end of a long show. We'll talk to you next week. We'll break down another six games as we get into the divisional round next week. Talk to you then, everybody. Best of luck.
Fantasy Football Weekly is a production of iHeartRadio. For more podcasts from iHeartRadio, visit the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you listen to your favorite shows.
At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment, it's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Hey, everyone. This is Jody Sweetin from the podcast How Rude, Tanneritos. I've been needing a quick getaway with my family, and the 2024 Hyundai Santa Fe is the perfect vehicle to take us there. It has standard third row seating, so I'm able to pack my entire family, plus pets in the car, while also having enough room for our camping essentials. Available H-Track all-wheel drive will get us through any dirt trails, and available dual wireless charging pads will ensure we never have to worry about getting stuck with a dead phone in the middle of nowhere. Visit HyundaiUSA.com. or call 562-314-4603 for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Whether you're a savvy spender maximizing your savings with cashback rewards, a thrifty rate watcher seeking the lowest interest, or a travel enthusiast looking for extraordinary perks, Kemba Financial Credit Union has a Visa to complement your lifestyle and unique needs. Apply today at Kemba.org to unlock a limited-time 2% cash back on purchases. And pay 0% interest on balance transfers for an entire year with a new Visa from Kemba. You deserve a card that works for you. Restrictions apply. Offer ends June 30th, 2024.